Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Hey, you want that to go?
Now, some quick takeouts on stories you're following this week. Let's go to Louise's story first for our business takeout. She's the finance reporter for our partner, the New York Times. So, Louise, with great fanfare yesterday, they declared the end of the recession. The GDP numbers came out. They grew by 3.5%. So is the public believing this? Are we seeing this changing public confidence in the economy?
The problem is that the confidence figures are not looking that great. We had one confidence measure from the Conference Board come out on Tuesday, and it was down for the second month in a row. And there's another confidence measure from the University of Michigan coming out this morning, and economists think that it's going to go down. This one, the one from the University of Michigan, actually went up last month,
right, in
reversing
September.
A trend from the summer. And so the fact that it's turning back around, it's like doing a little worm dance, is not a good sign. So I think we've got a kind of a gap between what most people are feeling and this economic data.
Which is the most important measure? I mean, is it more important to talk about consumer confidence or more important to look at Wall Street when it's popping over 10K?
So this entire financial crisis has been interesting because it really started on Wall Street. It started at the banks. You remember back in the summer of 07 is when Bear Stearns first hit trouble. And actually, a lot of the economy didn't show the signs of trouble that far back. So we had these problems on Wall Street, summer of 07, and it really spread to the rest of the economy in summer of 08. So the Wall Street had the crisis of confidence earlier. We saw the panic on Wall Street much earlier. And now we're seeing that crisis of confidence in the broader economy. And I actually have a theory about how this crisis is a bit different from ones in the past because of the internet. So I think that in the past, you know, you could look around you and you could say, this, you know, I don't have a job. My aunt doesn't have a job. Things look kind of bad. But people were not connected to other Americans. And therefore, maybe when they saw the GDP figures in the past, they believed things are getting better. But now with the internet, people are talking to each other. People are looking at Twitters from people three states away. And I think that they're more skeptical and that consumer confidence or lack of confidence, which we have now, is going to play a bigger role than ever.
Okay, it's the internet's fault. I'm glad to know that. Louise Story is a finance reporter for our partner, the New York Times. And now let's talk about sports with Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, our sports contributor. So we already said yesterday the Yankees beat the Phillies last night in the Game 2 of the World Series, 3-1. But we're going to get some more Philly versus NYC action this weekend, right?
It's a very strange way that the schedules have worked out. But the Giants are going to be playing the Eagles this weekend in Philadelphia. So that's a huge game with NFC East implications because the winner will take over the sole possession of the lead in the NFC East. Also, this weekend, the Knicks will play the Philadelphia 76ers. That doesn't have any sort of implications of anything because both teams aren't that good. But it's interesting for New York and Philadelphia, that's for sure.
Right. But there's some good football games coming up this weekend, right?
Without a doubt. The biggest one, the one that everyone's talking about the most, is the old man, Brett Favre, is returning to Lambeau Field to play against his former team, the Green Bay Packers, with his new team, the Minnesota Vikings, who are 6-1. The Packers are 4-2, so there are some sort of playoff implications at play here, but really it's about can Brett Favre contain his emotions going back into the field that he played for 16 seasons. He played one game after his dad died, and where he, like, his emotions were so high that he played the most amazing game of his life in the past. The question I have is, will he be able to contain his emotions, or will his emotions override and the crowd feed off the crowd in a negative way, throw interceptions, throw bad balls, or will he rise to the occasion? That's what we're looking for in that game.
You also seem to like the Miami Dolphins this year.
I do. There's something about them. They're 2-4.
Right.
They're playing against the Jets this week. The Jets right now are okay. You know, they're 4-3. They're playing okay. This is a great game for both teams. So look for the Rex Ryan defense to really put it to the Jets' offense. And that's the real matchup I'm looking for, is can the Jets create a scheme that will stop the Wildcat offense? That's a really big question.
Right. And you promised me you had something to say about Detroit.
Well, okay. So this is the exciting thing about Detroit. They're playing against the St. Louis Rams, who are 0-7. Now, the Rams are in danger of having a similar record that Detroit had last year when they did not win a game. They were the first team that went winless in the season. The Rams have won 17, have lost 17 straight games, including last year and this year. So they're horrible. So the good thing here, though, is that Matthew Stafford, the number one pick in the draft last year, is coming back. He's going to be the quarterback for the Lions this Sunday. And the Rams have one of the worst passing defenses in the league. So the Detroit could actually have a great game. However, this is the one game that the Rams could possibly win. So look for that to actually be one of the worst, the two worst teams playing one of the most competitive games.
Wait, you said the Titans were worse than the Lions.
Without a doubt. As an interesting note, Vince Young is going to be taking over as the quarterback for the Tennessee Titans this week. And that's got a lot of drama whipping around.
It's going to completely turn them around. Okay, Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen is our sports contributor. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Good morning.
And again, our last takeout comes from you. We talked earlier this week about people retraining to keep up with the changing economy, and you've been giving us your stories about that.
This is Tracy Greenwood from Farmington Hills, Michigan. When my legal job dried up, I took my law degree and started being a college professor.
And Melanie in Cordell, Oklahoma emails us, my husband lost his job as a welder 3 years ago. We were shocked. He went to file for unemployment. He had no idea what he's going to do. At the workforce office, there was a woman named Eileen who went the extra mile, convinced him to retrain as a commercial truck driver. It came naturally to him. He aced the course, received every endorsement available. The state paid all his tuition for the retraining while he earned unemployment. And kudos to the state of Oklahoma for providing avenues to the unemployed. Meanwhile, it's not always that smooth of a process for others. Here's one we got at 8778-MY-TAKE.
Hi, this is Desmond from Detroit. I originally went to college for neuroscience, spent all my time in the lab, and never really dealt with people, but I now work as a social worker, and it's been a big change learning to deal with people.
And Lawrence called to tell us this.
We're retraining hundreds of people to start their own business. The only thing I'm concerned about is where will they get funding, and if the money just continues to go to the top and never get to the bottom. We need a bottom-up approach so that folks that are starting their business do not get left behind.
We've also been getting a lot of stories about people who are just beginning their new careers and their new lives. Kevin in Atlanta sent us his story. He says, I am a telecommunications sales engineer that's worked for the same company for over 17 years. My salary plus commissions totaled more than $120,000 a year. But coming up on November 17th, I'm going to be laid off. In my new career, I'm being forced to develop is success coach. I hope the economy will lead to more clients seeking new ways to create success in their life. So hopefully there's good news on the horizon for everyone. We're continuing to take your responses. Come and tell us anything you want to tell us about, whether it's your new career or not. 8778-MY-TAKE or MyTake at thetakeaway.org.